the day before lockdown, and all through the country, people were scared and full of worry. Because that rhymes, right? We weren't sure of the details or how long it would last. But never mind all that. It's time for the Literal Literature Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Literal Literature Podcast.
Yeah.
I, of course, am Sam Sheldon, joined, as always, by...
this guy! Ooh, baby! His name's Howard Greater. That's who I am. But I haven't prepared a lovely little poem like some stupid Australians I know. That was good of you.
Well, Howard, it is the lockdown season, and I thought, what better way to celebrate than with a little little poem for us all to take?
Yeah, in. One day away, dropping on Wednesday, then the next day, clickum bang, lock and key, no movement for any of us.
No, that's right. It's good. I was going to say that's only going to be relevant to anybody in England specifically. Nowhere else in the world right now. I'm sure there are other places.
There must be somebody locking down somewhere.
No one's starting tomorrow. Well, Thursday.
Yeah.
Fun times for all.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. My hair's too long. I don't know what to do. But apart from that,
you're talking about your hair being too long.
Yeah, I am. I know your hair's long, but mine is also long.
Like, I keep looking at our, our logo. Mm. And looking at what my hair used to be, that cartoon version of me with the slick, short hair, and now, like I was saying to you earlier, I'm kind of going for slightly the Unabomber look right now, just not a care in the world.
Fantastic, You're very much the sort of Saddam Hussein emerging from the from his hole.
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. Sam Sheldon looks like 5 days from being hung chic. Hanged, isn't it? Sorry.
Oh, dearie me. So, it's all fun. All fun and games down here in our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So how's it been, Howard? How have you found making your little story for us today, which is, of course, Silence of the Lambs? How did you find it?
Oh, I found it a very spooky, wooky affair. The goblins and elves were around, and the witches were brewing their potions as I was concocting a story for the ages. And what actually I was doing was pretty much, like, completely plagiarising Silence of the Lambs to the letter. I enjoyed it because, Sam... are you a fan of the true crime series of podcasts, the genre of true crime?
Yes, I went through a big old phase about a year or so ago because I'd never listened to Serial before. I was one of those people who somehow managed to miss it all. And so I listened to Serial and then had to go on a massive binge of other ones as well. So, yes, no, I am a bit of a fan.
Oh, I think they're fantastic. And, you know, less we ask questions about ourselves in regards to that, the better, I suppose, because there are some people out there that would argue that it's exploitative, but I think it depends on the podcast you listen to. There are ones that are very, very, factual and respectful and don't, mm-hmm. you know, and don't sort of glamorize victims or paint them to be massive victims, and you know they paint them to be human beings that have lost a life, and it's what I'm saying is that they are a mixed bag, but I like them, so it was nice to parody one, which is what I've done. Spoiler.
Oh, very good, very good. And do you have any strong connection to the source material itself? We'll go into that a bit more further, but I guess just from the off the bat.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Well, I have read this one, and I've also watched the movie, like, about, over 10 times. You know some movies...
Whoa, yeah, really? I think I've seen it 3 times.
I've watched it
so
many times, mate. It's great. There was a bit on Gogglebox where they started watching Silence of the Lambs, and before they showed the pictures of them watching Silence of the Lambs, they showed the people on Gogglebox looking at the telly, and the music came up, and about sort of 0.5 seconds in, I went, they're watching Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
As the narrator was like,
the people in Manchester watched a scary movie on Friday.
in Brighton. That guy's voice.
I can't remember his bloody name.
Sophie.
Hey?
I can't remember his name.
No, neither can I. Is he the guy from Royal Family? Royal Family, is what I hear people say. Yeah.
He's great. Brighton. But it's just a very odd, you know.
Did he actually talk? Or does he put it on?
No, I think he's putting
Sophie.
Up, you know, because it's
Sophie's watching some telly. Well, he Brighton.
Sorry.
He played David in the Royal Family, and he was quite slow, I think.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're just going on from that. Because the Royal Family, they were just sat around watching telly, you know. It's quite an inspired choice. They had Caroline Ahern as well before she passed away. Because she was
she on Royal Family?
Yeah, she was his wife on it. I think, and she wrote it. I think she wrote it with him, Craig Cash.
And that was all off the top of your head, and that was so impressive. Yeah, I'm so glad that you knew.
I just know things. I know about Craig Cash and Caroline Ahern, Ricky Tomlinson, and Mark Little, and the other ones. It didn't take us long to do this one because I think it was very. You've read the script. There's quite a lot of talking heads moments as people just chatting for a longer time. So it was easier to, edit. Yes. Couldn't think of the word edit. Easier to edit.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. No crazy sound effects, or not as many crazy sound effects, at least anyway.
No. Well, I had to create some soundscapes, you know. It wasn't easy, but certainly easier than the heist from a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
For sure. Well, Howard, after all this goggle boxing, it's put me in the mood to listen to your story, for sure. So go on, Howard. Take us in. Entice us. Let us know.
Okay, well, get yourselves uncomfy, listeners. There's evil in the air. What was that? Is it a shadow or is it something more nefarious? No time to look for it now because it's podcast time. Sit down and enjoy the silence of the lambs. Fresh meat.
Good morning, Doctor.
Well, my, what is all this?
We're making a true crime podcast, Dr. Lecter. I'm sure you were told.
Ah, yes, the podcaster. A new phenomenon. Such a distinct aroma you people have. Axe body spray coupled with a hint of shame and desperation.
I was led to believe we were the first team to be allowed access to you.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you were. The truth is, there were teams before you, but I wasn't to their taste. And they weren't to mine. Come closer.
That's okay.
Closer. Don't you think I should have one of your little microphones? Slide it in. Well, what do you want to know?
This was my last scheduled interview for this podcast, and my first encounter with Dr. Lecter, a notorious serial killer known for his calculated genius and his cold psychopathy. But what was truly remarkable about Lecter's story was the separate serial killer investigation that he had found himself embroiled with, even after some considerable time behind bars. Well, super thick glass, actually. Probably because it works better cinematically. I'm Stuart Vocal Fry, and this is Lecter. Chapter 1, The Running of the Buffalo.
I was a rookie, a new recruit in the FBI at the time.
This was Clarice Starling. Right away, I could tell she was brilliant, insightful, very bright. Her powers of deduction were nothing short of Sherlockian. It was clear, though, that something had always held her back at the FBI.
Hey, little Starlin', could you be a peach and file this damn paperwork for me? I think your dainty little fingers are better equipped for the job.
We're actually conducting an interview in here, so could you...
Clarice, glad I caught you. My nephew's birthday is coming up. Do you know how to bake cakes?
Jeffers, we can discuss this later. Right now, I'm...
Hey, a Brandine, is it? Or Shirley? Well, whatever. Just let you know, secretaries shouldn't carry badges, missy. That's actually a federal offense. Could you maybe wear more makeup tomorrow? The commissioner's coming in for a visit, and he's not a huge fan of dowdy women.
Sorry about that. Well, not that sorry. I'm not sure what I'd have to do to be regarded as an equal around here. I guess it's not enough that I was handpicked from my year to aid in the Buffalo Bill case, that I manipulated and played a criminal genius, that I was an orphan from the age of 10 and worked my ass off to get to where I am today, or that I single-handedly subdued a man twice my size in the fucking dark.
Oh yeah, Starling was a badass. The case Clarice mentioned was the case we were investigating. The killer dubbed Buffalo Bill by the press.
This just in, an horrific murder case is developing in West Virginia. A body has washed up on the muddy banks
of... A third body to be pulled from the river with the same characteristic similarities of the last two.
Various parts of the victim's skin has been surgically removed. The method is said to look professional and methodical. More on this
news report montages are said to be bad for your health. With so many different angles of the same news coverage coming at you, it triggers something in the brain known as...
An African moth known as the Death's Head Moth was removed from Miss Bimble's esophagus in its chrysalis state. Although the third body to be found, Bimble is believed to be Bill's
first victim. Usually in documentaries where reporters from several networks talk over each other to convey
five
a media frenzy.
Five bodies are now reportedly linked to the Buffalo Bill
Buffalo
murder.
Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Bill.
Buffalo
Bill. Buffalo Bill.
Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Help me, I'm trapped in a montage.
It was national news. The whole of the FBI was searching for a guy with a very specific modus operandi. A guy that had killed and skinned five women, dumped their bodies in rivers. A guy we knew was Caucasian, strong, and with a very rare collection of African moths. Basically your average American Joe. It was a real needle in a haystack situation.
This is Jack Crawford, the man in charge of the Buffalo Bill case. Traditionally, police in these kinds of stories make mistakes that are glaring with hindsight. Crawford was responsible for bringing Clarice on board. Whether for the right reasons or not, at least this was a good idea.
I figured that to catch a killer, I needed to consult one. You know, like most murder cases. So, like anyone would have, I brushed aside the pool of experts that the FBI has at its disposal, ignored the physical evidence that was quickly amassing, there were after all five bodies at this point, and set my sights on the only logical way forward. Getting the opinion of a convicted serial killer that is criminally insane and lacking in any empathy, who enjoys eating people's faces and vital organs.
And how does Miss Starling fit into all of this?
Well, Starling was brilliant. An excellent cadet, clearly going places. I respected her gumption. I respected her work ethic. And I thought she was shaping up to be one of the most remarkable officers that I had ever encountered.
So what did you do with her?
I lied to her and used her as bait. Passed her on to Dr. Chilton, the man in charge of Lecter at the time.
Ooh, is this going to be on the news? Make sure you get my good side.
It's a podcast.
Well, use the good parts of my voice then. Make me sound bassy and masculine.
This was Dr. Frederick Chilton. I got the feeling he got into his profession for all the wrong reasons.
I knew that the more batshit my patients were, the more publicity I would garner. And I had struck gold with Lecter. So much fun to poke the little rat in his cage. Nothing the sorry bastard could do. By the way, I trust you've spoken to my agent, Remi Fee. I don't come cheap. After all, my beard and hair are both magnificent.
All's been arranged. But surely you must have been wary of Lecter.
No! I am a man! A big, strong man with balls and guts and metal! Not like that waif, Starling. She was the one who should have been wary, and I made damn sure of that. No one that pretty gets access to my assets. At least not before dinner. Showed her this. A picture of a nurse that Lecter attacked from years ago.
You keep a picture of a half-eaten face in your jacket?
It happens to be in this jacket.
That's pretty weird, man.
It happens to be in this jacket. I was wearing this jacket the day I met Starling.
Okay, well, we're in your office, so what if I looked in that jacket? Would there be a duplicate picture in that one?
No.
Well, all right then, let's...
Well, fine, in that one there's another, yes.
And this one?
Maybe.
Your lab coat?
Probably.
They all have a picture of a nurse's half-eaten face, don't they, Dr. Chilton?
Yes.
Other than being the initial conduit between Clarice Starling and Lecter, this guy was a useless creep. I had to dig deeper. Chapter 2. Starling in the Cage. So, Clarice, I understand you weren't told the whole truth about why you were visiting Dr. Lecter.
That is correct, yes. I was led to believe that I was talking to him as part of a more general study of profiling serial killers. But to be honest, I was pretty sure it all had something to do with Bill. For one thing, I was sent to Lecter with all the case files. That and the name for my assignment was the Not About Buffalo Bill at All assignment. It took me a day or two, but I eventually joined up those dots. It was difficult to read Lecter. Have you spoken to him yet?
Not yet. Should I be worried?
Yes, very worried. When I first met him, one of the cellmates he was living near was less than polite to me. The less we talk about that, the better. Lecter whispered to him all day the next day. Just words, you understand? Lecter is kept solitary the whole time. That man was dead the following morning. He'd swallowed his own tongue.
Ah, yes, Miggs.
Lecter's face lit up when I asked about any of his nefarious behavior.
Multiple Miggs. Haven't thought about that degenerate for quite a while. Beyond the pale, really, what he did to Clarice. Barked about the aroma of her genitals before whipping the viscous results of his onanism right at the poor lamb's face. You wouldn't stand for it, and neither would I. Something had to be done.
What do you say to a man to get him to swallow his own tongue?
Come now, Stuart. You and I both know the danger of putting information like that out to the general public. If everyone started swallowing their tongues, there'd be none left for me.
Do you need a tissue?
No, I'll be fine, thank you. Something stuck in my teeth is all.
So, why did the FBI come to you?
Stuart Vocal Fry, filmmaker, documentarian, and now podcaster. Love your suit, but I can tell you it's fooling no one. That affected voice you put on is clearly masking something deeper. You live in New York City now, but you're from Oklahoma, aren't you? Moved away early, but inside you beats the heart of a good old country boy. You yearn for the farm, the outdoors. New York stifles you. You fear it's made you too hard. That's why you bought a little dog. But it's too little, and you hate it, the little rat shit, don't you, Stuart?
Biscuit is a lovely little tiny thing. It was obvious Lecter had a brilliant flair for reading people. But like most serial killers, his vanity was surely his Achilles heel. Oh, sorry, Doctor. You're clearly too astute for a lowly podcaster like me. I'm sorry I've wasted your time.
Ah, a compliment. Allow me to sing like a canary. Bill was an old patient of mine. They knew I understood people, and they suspected I held the key to the case. They'll all tell you that Starling bewitched me, but that's not strictly true. She intrigued me, fascinated me even. Everyone saw her as striving forward when it was clear to me that she was running away and had been for some time. Using cryptic anagrams, I fed my little starling clues. In return, I would be transferred to a room with a view, something more than this dank pit, but it was all lies, no doubt a scheme concocted by Crawford and his boys in blue. No matter, though, the bigger picture was always far sweeter. As long as they needed me, the more my world changed. And with change comes opportunity.
Opportunity? For what?
For escape, of course.
Lecter spoke of how he was transferred briefly to an attic in a hotel or something. I don't really get it. It's fucking weird. Whatever the case, Lecter's world was indeed changing, as was the case. 5 murders, and now a kidnapping. The kidnapping of a senator's daughter.
I assume you're speaking to not-so-little Catherine Martin, but there's one more name that perhaps you should check out. Ella Feck.
Ella Feck? Her name's not come up at all. Is she significant?
More than you know, Stuart Vocal Fry. Fry, fry, fry. Fry, fry, fry. Fry, fry, fry.
Chapter 3. Well, well, well. Looks like this is the place. There's no house here, though. Looks like we're on a farm. Look, someone's putting those horses out to graze. But no Catherine. Where is she?
Hello? Is that the podcast guys?
Catherine? Is that you? Are you...
Down the well. That's right. I live down here. Are you going to send me down a microphone? You can just put it in the basket.
Are you okay down there? We can...
I'm fine. Just send me down the mic.
But really, Catherine, this
is... It places the microphone in the basket. That's better.
This is Catherine Martin, the only known survivor to have escaped from Bill. She lives in a well. Super weird, as that was what Bill kept and starved her in for days.
You'd think I'd be traumatized, but the truth is I love it down here. Except when it rains. I like to think of it as a subterranean lair, like a Bond villain or something.
Sure. So, Catherine, how much of Bill's work did you see?
Oh, tons. Large sheets of skin everywhere, heads in jars, surgical equipment, a bloody and disgusting sewing machine. Real horror show shit, you know? I knew he was starving me to loosen my skin and add me to his dead lady suit.
You seem remarkably chipper.
Sure am. Why grumble about what's already done? At least I got out okay, and it gave me a swell idea about how to live my life. Underground. Yippee!
Unbelievable. What an incredible spirit you have. Oh, they're putting the horses back in their stables. Goodbye, horses! I wasn't sure what, but something must have spooked her. As we find ourselves on a farm, I took the time to conduct this interview as part of a contractual obligation involving puns. So I'm now talking to one of the lambs on the farm. Did you know that Catherine Martin lives in a well on your farm? Is it tough growing up with the threat of the slaughterhouse ever looming over you? I understand that a distant relative of yours actually met Detective Starling in her formative years. Is that correct? No, it's no use. She ain't talking. Thanks anyway. No, come on, let's go. Stuck-up cow. Not you. Sorry. As my time on this investigation draws to a close, I'm compelled to try and untangle this strange case. Buffalo Bill, whose real name was James Gum, was eventually taken down single-handedly by Clarice Starling. She, in turn, would not have met Lecter were it not for the deception and weaseling of her boss, Jack Crawford. And Lecter would have had no part in this case were it not for his notoriety in the field of psychological criminality. Perhaps the whole investigation wouldn't have ramped up the way it did were it not for Gum inadvertently choosing the daughter of a prominent senator for his next victim. So many finely tuned circumstances led to the bloody and dramatic conclusion of this case.
I had gone to check a house that I had ascertained was pertinent to the case. Little did I know that Bill would answer the door and pull a gun on me. Alone, with no backup and no easy means of escape, I pursued the armed individual into the pitch black basement of his own home. It was foolproof.
Starling shot and killed James Gum in his own basement and rid the world of a terror that few can truly say they know or understand. To understand evil, I went to visit Dr. Lecter's old nurse, the one from Frederick Chilton's photo. Now, miss, you have had first-hand experience with a serial killer. What was it like being so close to terror?
Well, I can't.
But this expert had no jaw, so on reflection, interviewing her was a bit of a misstep. I interviewed your nurse.
Oh, yeah? I'm surprised she could face it.
With all this behind you, Dr. Lecter...
Please, call me Hannibal.
What?
Hannibal is fine.
Your name is Hannibal?
Yes. Why?
I'm sorry. That's stupid, isn't it? Hannibal the Cannibal. It's so derivative. It's like me writing a story about a killer called Blurterer the Murderer. What a joke.
That seems a little unfair.
No, I'm sorry. All other aspects of your story are thought-provoking and dynamic and thrilling. But Hannibal the Cannibal? Must try harder, I say.
Everyone's a critic.
Almost everything is wrapped up now, Doctor. But there is one thing I still don't understand.
Fire away.
Ella Feck.
Ah, of course. Ella, whatever.
There's no mention of her in any case file. No one I spoke to had heard of her. She's a ghost. I don't get what she has to do with your story.
She aided in my escape, of course.
Escape?
Yes. The Buffalo Bill case was an extraordinary smokescreen. Everybody worth their salt knows I get away at the end. Read the book, Stuart. Or watch the movie.
But the cell. The people that keep you locked here. There are guards everywhere.
Look around, Stuart. Where are they now?
I don't...
Cast your mind back, Stuart. You know as well as I the subtle clues I fed to Clarice some years ago. Names that were hints, anagrams. So, take Ella Feck, a short name and a relatively easy anagram to decipher. Ella Feck, when you spot the signs that have been here all along, turns out to be...
Fake cell.
Think of the listeners, Stuart. It's quite a satisfying ending. I've been looking forward to this, Stuart. Ever since I first met you, I thought you were quite a dish.
No, no, no!
There we go. Fantastic stuff there. That did
feel... Hey, what do you think?
It was very good. It did feel like a legitimate true crime podcast.
Did it?
And, and that's what you were going for.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I will say, Howard, on behalf of all the fans of the podcast, I was worried that we weren't going to have a literal interpretation of Silence of the Lambs, because I was saying, hey, there's no lambs being silent. And I was getting huffy and puffy until we had the obligatory scene in which there was a sheep being silent.
Had to include it. Yeah, so, I had to include it.
The bases were covered. They got covered eventually, because I was feeling it for the fans, Howard. I was like, oh, if he doesn't have some quiet sheep in here somewhere, we are done.
What have we done?
Yeah, yeah.
He's missed the whole opportunity that I thought he was going to capitalize on. Where are these silent lambs?
Where are the silent lambs?
There was one silent lamb on a little farm.
It's great. One thing, and this is not for anybody who's actually listening to this care, the one thing, and I don't know if you're going to get mad at me in being one of my favorite things in it.
That's okay.
Where the hell did you get the draw sound effect that sounds exactly like the draw that they use in the movie when they place the stuff in it? That, for some reason, was something that just stuck in my head is, that's a really damn good sound effect, because that sounds like the thing.
Well, that's like, kind of it was from that website you told me about, Sam. that's really all I can say about that.
Hannibal Lecter prison cell draw sound effect.
Yeah, Ball. That's what I typed in, yeah. No, I think I just typed in, like, metal draw or metallic draw or something.
Amazing. Well, it sounded super legit, and so there we go. That, once again, that was just for me.
The listeners are all very keen to hear the you know, the metal draw banter that we've got going on at the moment.
But no, I liked it very, very, very much because, like we've said before, I'm a big fan of the movies and the books as well.
Well, I was a bit worried, and I still am a little bit, because I got so bogged down with the minutiae of the story of the movie, the plot, that I'm not entirely convinced that the comedy didn't suffer at the hands of just of being very, very true to the movie. Like, who knows? Who gives a fuck who Jack Crawford is? But like, I had to put him in.
Hey, well, he is there at the very beginning of the movie. He's the one who sends on away.
Dr. Chilton.
Yeah. No, you had them all covered. And look, and there's enough people out there who like Silence of the Lambs to get stuff out of it. I wouldn't be worrying about that. What I would be worrying, because I know that you were concerned as well about offending a section of the community, and yeah. I for one know. I feel offended on their behalf. There's a dog in the park that I walk my dog in who had to have his jaw removed, and I feel for that dog, Howard, because I think if he heard this, if he heard the interpretation of that nurse, then...
Yeah, well, can I just say to the no-jawed community that I'm very, very sorry, and I won't expect you to tell me that that's okay, because you can't. But yeah.
Oh God!
I really enjoyed making those silly noises.
That was another highlight. There was a very high pitched effect sound that came from the nurse at one point, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed Harriet as well. Thank you to Harriet for her Clarice Starling.
Yes, that was because when she recorded those ones, I wasn't around when she was recording them, so I hadn't heard her Jodie Foster impression.
Yeah,
Jodie Foster, Dr. Lecter. Yeah, I was very impressed. Well done, Harriet. Great.
I find Hannibal Lecter's quite difficult as well. I did all right, I think, but like I think there were times it was like, I don't quite know what you're doing there. But I think, you know, for comedy's sake, it was fine.
you definitely hit the I'm still trying to remember in the movie how that sort of came about without it being borderline parody level, like it just seems like such an odd thing.
It is an odd choice, isn't it?
But it's so iconic now. It's so iconic.
Imagine if you were just talking to someone about a really nice meal they had. And I'm like, yeah, and we just went way out. I had some lovely foie gras with my partner, and then we had a lovely big roast, and then I finished off with some lovely lemon meringue pie. It was really good. So anyway, So anyway, thanks for coming round. Very odd. And Dr. Chilton, in the movie, I watched the movie again.
Yes, did you watch it again?
Dr. Chilton, right, at the start when he is showing Clarice to Hannibal, he pulls out a Polaroid of the nurse. Like, I didn't make that up. He just has it with him. He just has it. And it's so odd to me that he's just carrying that picture around in his pocket.
You never
know when you need to have a picture of a jawless nurse.
It's a really good point. Like, yeah, he did this. Oh, okay, cool. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Not even in like
even
a
if
file.
He printed it out specially, that's still weird.
Yeah. And like if you're like just carrying it around in a file, that's normal. Yeah, here's my file on Dr. Lecter. Not here in my jacket pocket is a pole. Is it because it's a Polaroid? Vaguely, if I remember.
I think so.
But yeah, no. It's maybe it's one of those. They're making a classic statement of who are the real, like, you know, who's the real criminals here? Who's the real, you know.
It's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He ate people.
Oh, fine. Damn it.
But he's choosy about who he eats, isn't he, I think?
He is, yeah.
He's not going to eat Clarice.
Give him a free pass. He's not like, you know, a serial killer. He's, well, kind of a serial... No, he's a serial killer. But
he doesn't have him for breakfast.
No, exactly.
Serial killer. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, good.
But no, very well done, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Very enjoyable.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween, post-Halloween. Happy post-Halloween, everyone.
Happy post-Halloween.
Now, Howard, have you possibly got a tale for me to work on
over
the next 2 weeks?
Do you know what the time is?
Right now, it is 12:55.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you knew the time. But if you didn't know the time, then you'd perhaps be able to check Anthony Burgess's fruit bowl, because I want you to do a Clockwork Orange, please.
Oh, boy. And the theme continues again. The accidental theme. It's become a very solid theme.
It's become a very solid theme, and here we are theming it. So, yeah, that's what I'd like you to do. What do you think about that, Sam?
I think it's great. Because I like the yes.
I like the yes. Good. I like the yes, too.
I'm a big old Kubrick fan. I know this is a book podcast, but I'm a Kubrick fan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seen the movie a couple of times. And I have attempted to read the book. And we'll get more into that when we do the full episode. But yeah, I think a lot of people will know what I mean when I say I've attempted to read it.
Is it a tricky one?
It is, yes. Yeah, and we'll definitely get more into that during those episodes. But yeah, if everybody's had a go at reading it, they know what I mean. But looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, actually. More than you.
Na, 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 na. Right, well, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Howard, yeah. Do you feel that you can ramble off the socials again, as I am once again that person who just can't do it? I'm so lazy, aren't I?
You are
terrible.
A lazy. You're a bastard. So ladies and gentlemen, literal titlets, thank you as ever for staying with us. We really appreciate your listenership, and I think you're bloody great. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to Twitter and find us at Literal Lit Pod, capital L Literal, capital L It, capital P Odd. You can find us on Instagram at Literal Literature Pod. You can email us. The address is literalliterature.podcast@gmail.com. And you will find me and Sam diving into Scrooge McDuck's money pit and having a lovely time. And then he comes in and goes, "What are you doing here?" And we go, "That's you sound odd." And that's the end of our exchange.
I like that. I like that a lot. If only we could, Howard. And yes, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Please do give us a review on Apple and wherever you listen. If you can review it, give it a review and tell all your friends. Pass around the joy. And we will see you next week for the further reading of Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, please!
But until then, dear listener, all that is left to say is... a book.
Bye, everyone.